She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah. On this day back in 1972, in one of the sort of perverse notes of the Hot 100 charts, one of the greatest rock and roll guitarists, the inventors of rock and roll, Chuck Berry, reached number one time on the charts, and it was with this stupid song, My Ding-a-Ling. Number one on this day back in 1972, 17 years after his first chart hit. And, well, I certainly hope he's known for other things besides My Ding-a-Ling. It would be a shame if that were that. State Representative Andrew Fink is on the phone lines with us right now. You can find him on Twitter at Andrew Fink MI, representing Branch Hillsdale Counties. It's the 58th District. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Two things I want to talk with you about today. One, the redistricting, and one, the tax credit scholarship programs that were put through the House and the Senate this week. Start with the redistricting, because this is new from yesterday. The state's head of the Department of Civil Rights told the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Committee yesterday that he believes that these maps violate federal law, that they would violate the Voting Rights Act if approved. What do you know about that aspect of this question, and what's the next step for the commission at this point? I know they're doing these listening sessions across the state at this point.
Well, Scott, I never like practice this area of law or anything, so I don't have the most intimate knowledge of the issue. But the basic problem here, I think, is that the federal court precedents say that if you've got a certain number of majority minority districts, you I guess probably absent some kind of change in population or something, you can't reduce them. And evidently the advice given by the attorney for this redistricting commission has been pretty controversial. And the commission has been working on advice that would allow them to reduce the number of minority voters in a district to lower than I guess is conventionally understood to be in accordance with the Voting Rights Act. And I think that's kind of where the source of a lot of this controversy has come from. And I guess the meta point to make, the overall point to make, is that this commission was theoretically an attempt to take the politics out of politics and randomly select these folks from a list rather than have the legislature draw the maps. And the thing is, you know how the legislature is responsible. It's in elections, and these folks are going to have to show how they're responsible in response to the public comment they're getting. And so it's a new experience, and I'm not sure that they're all enjoying it as much as maybe they hoped they would.
There's a part of the story too, Andrew, where someone is complaining, actually apparently a lot of complaints, that the Republicans still have the advantage in the draft maps. And there's like this call, the party that receives more votes should end up with more seats, they said. But that's not how, I mean, if you want that, but then you have like, what, statewide elections, and then just say, all right, you get 54% of the seats. These are districts. These are, you know, community. There are communities that are going to prefer to have a Republican representative. They're going to be drawn together, and vice versa. That's the way that map drawing works.
That's exactly right. If you're going to have representative districts, you can't conflate the statewide vote. I mean, we hear this. There's a version of this in the Electoral College discussion, and as I'm sure you know, I'm a major opponent of the move to go to a national popular vote. I strongly support our electoral colleges created by the original Constitution. But it's a similar issue where we have people who live in different places and need to have their unique interests represented. And so thinking of all of us as kind of one mass in every political context, including a legislative one, doesn't make a great deal of sense. And I can give you just a very quick example. My colleague Ken Borton from the 105th District brought some legislation forward this week regarding snowmobile trails. Well, almost no one else in the state, I mean, the number of people who live in a district with state-groomed snowmobile trails is probably like five or six in the northern lower peninsula and the upper peninsula. But it's an important issue in those places, and it's only because we know there's a representative from that place who can bring that to the statewide conversation that they get heard. And you can imagine issues like that from any district in the state.
State Representative Andrew Fink with us here on the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. I was so enthusiastic and somewhat surprisingly, surprised by the news. I did not know that it was in the works that the House and the Senate here in Michigan had moved forward earlier this week. These tax credit scholarship programs. The Free Press, of course, calls it a school voucher system, which is not what it is. I guess they can use whatever language they want. Tell people about the tax credit scholarship program. The governor said she'll veto it, but that doesn't mean it's going to go away. Something we can talk about in the future. This is a big deal. It's being done in states like Florida. It's even being done in blue, blue, blue states like Illinois. Tell us about this proposal and how it got to the governor.
Yeah. So the basic idea of the proposal is that the state would establish sort of a fund program into which private donations, which are tax deductible or are tax deductions, would be placed in order to give what are called student opportunity scholarships. And these are scholarships that could be used for additional books or extracurricular learning or different things that a given student or a given student's family thinks are necessary to improve that student's education. I mean, it's not a publicly funded program, and so calling it a voucher is at best sloppy, and really it's probably misleading. It is money that the family would control, right, and would therefore be tailored directly to a given student's educational needs, but it wouldn't be taxpayer dollars. And this is it's important to just say this is in response to the fact that many of our students statewide are in failing public schools and their zip code dooms them to inadequate schooling. This would be an opportunity for a family to kind of grab that situation and wrestle control over that child's education, even when the state school is letting the child down.
The donations would be tax deductible. This freaks out liberals and Democrats. The governor said, in her veto message, or the message she's going to give when she vetoes, that it would reduce state revenue by $500 million. This is not the government's money. It is our money. And there are ways we can do through legislation to change the way it's structured via tax. That's point one. But point two, isn't there billions of unspent money right now, both because of increased revenues from last year and because of additional money coming from the federal government? I remember talking to State Senator Mike Shirky. It's like $5 billion state, $8 billion federal, something along those lines.
Yeah, to complain that any part of our state government is underfunded right now is really ridiculous. I mean, the last budget was at a record level. Obviously, that happens a lot just because of inflation. I mean, if you spend the same amount and adjust for inflation, it's going to be a new high number. But this was not that situation. As you're saying, there's an infusion of additional money into the state budget as inflation is out of control. And the federal government is asking the states to disperse money that it's appropriated at a new rate that I'm hopeful is going to be moderated here. Saying that we are going to short the state budget through this tax deduction is pretty ridiculous. I mean, it's between a $60 and $70 billion budget in a normal year, and this is not going to change the overall delivery of services in our state.
State Representative Andrew Fink, Hillsdale Branch Counties here in Michigan. Thanks for joining the Steve Gruber Show.
Thank you.
You see it in the headlines every day. The price of everything is going up, and nothing's going up faster than the cost of energy. What if your heating and cooling bill doubled or tripled? What would that mean to you and your family? For most people, it would be devastating. It's time you learned about WellConnect. With WellConnect, you might be able to cut your utility costs by hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars a year. And if you already have a well in the yard, you already have the key piece of equipment for a 100% renewable energy source. That's right, your well can be the heart of a WellConnect hybrid geothermal system. WellConnect is a Michigan-made solution to cutting your utility bills. In the last year alone, WellConnect reduced propane consumption by 1 million gallons, saving Michigan homeowners over $1 million. Why gamble on the price of energy? Get connected to WellConnect. Right now, you can still qualify for a 26% federal tax credit and utility rebates, but they won't be here forever. Find out more right now. Visit WellConnectSaves.com, WellConnectSaves.com, or call 989-356-2113. WellConnect.
No matter where you are in life, here's a question to consider. Do you have the right financial advisor to help you navigate where you want to go? An Ameriprise advisor will take the time to truly understand what's important to you and help you prepare for whatever life brings, both the expected and the unexpected, by providing personalized advice based on your goals and needs, and regular reviews along with digital tools to help you stay on track. With an Ameriprise advisor, you can feel more confident, connected, and in control of your financial life. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call me, Ameriprise Financial Advisor, Craig Stiles, today at 517-483-4893. That's 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.